It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. A happy Friday to you. I gotta tell you, emotional roller coaster for me today. A lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions. We'll dive into the Kings' loss to the Trailblazers last night. A trade the Kings made just before the deadline might be the most significant move Monty McNair has made since Domantas Sabonis.
Ever.
ever. We'll talk about it. Well, I was going to say ever, and then I was like, oh, yeah, he did the Domas trade. Never mind.
Ever.
So I want to get into all that. I got to tell you, though, I'm trying this thing. It's called reading.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I've gotten big into reading books. I am a person who, when I read, I have a hard time keeping my eyes open.
Okay.
And so I have friends who will do like, yeah, these are the three books I read this month. And I'm like, oh, this is the book I read over the last 3 months.
Okay.
Because I'm reading like a chapter a night kind of thing, right? But mm-hmm. it's the way, because you know, you have, we talk about this a lot. Not that this is some hardship of our job, it's just a reality of it, is after you're done covering a game, ostensibly working, and then it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, it's really hard to just go to sleep. Like, turn your brain off and go to bed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I've taken to reading to help me wind down at the end of the night, because I'm doing a couple different things before I'm going to bed. So I've taken to reading, and I'm reading this book right now called All the Light We Cannot See,
okay,
by Anthony Doerr, and it is a Netflix series, and I want to watch the series, but I wanted to read the book first. It is a beautifully written book, super fast-paced, just a really, really well-done book. It takes place during World War II, and it follows a couple of different storylines. And I don't want to give away the whole premise, but that's typically been a book that, like, there's some heavier stuff in it, but it's really engaging, and it's like I said, just the way it's written is great, and it's been really helpful to help me wind down at the end of the night. I read three chapters last night
mm-hmm.
that covered three different like storylines in the book, and the end of each chapter was absolutely devastating. Just brutal. Like, because again, you get the idea. It's about World War II.
Like, I've seen the
okay.
The
so,
actual
okay.
Netflix series.
Okay. Yeah. So you understand it's not like, I'm not at the end, so don't tell me yet. But you understand that it's not like a happy tale, right? It's like it's tough.
It's gut wrenching.
It is.
Yeah.
And so the three chapters that I read last night, and so now I'm sitting here, I put my book down. And I have done no work toward going to sleep. I am just on high alert emotionally. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about the Sacramento Kings last night. And I'm excited to dive into it today to unpack the stuff I thought about for an hour and 20 minutes while I was trying to fall asleep last night.
I probably could have used some sort of war book to try to get the last week out of my head.
Yeah,
like
a lot going on.
I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of history books that I probably should have done the same thing. I typically read during the summer when I go on vacation.
Sure, that tracks.
I like to just like
get away from basketball.
Shut things off,
sure.
And get away.
Yeah. So the Kings fell to the Trailblazers 108-102 last night. This isn't breaking news, but their defense is going to be a significant problem.
Yeah, I tried to tell people
like
that.
I know. But it's something that you think, okay, you can kind of piece this together. You can figure it out. But if you're going to insist that Keon Ellis, your best defender,
yeah,
can't start or close games, you're going to have a really, really hard time winning. And I know that this is not deep analysis, this is not breaking news, but you had three guys in your starting lineup score 20 last night, and it just didn't matter. And we want to talk about playoffs with this team. You get to the postseason where there's going to be points in games where you go, hey, you know what? We need three stops in a row here. I do not trust the Sacramento Kings to get a stop at all. And I don't know that there's a lineup that they're putting on the floor right now that I trust to go get a stop at all. And that is when you start talking ceiling, because that's where we're at. This is no longer a team where like, hey, how do you get to the playoffs? No, we're trying to raise the ceiling higher than that. Last night was glaring to me. The offensive stuff, I think they'll figure out. I don't think they're going to, you know, be held to 102 points very often. But it's the defensive side that I just don't see a path forward where they're going to be nearly good enough to be impactful in the postseason.
Yeah, so when I was watching the game, I think it's crazy because a couple of things stood out. I thought Domantas Sabonis had one of his best defensive games I've seen him play ever. Like, his defense in the post was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a true rim protector, but last night, like, he got into Ayton, he got into all of their bigs,
mm-hmm.
kept them at bay. Anytime they tried to, like, do little jump hooks or whatever, mm-hmm. he was right there. I thought he was spectacular. The problem is that he fouled out, and mm-hmm. he fouled out because his teammates didn't play defense. His teammates just, like, allowed him to get abused.
It was like Portland. And again, Portland has a lot of talented young players.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a terrible team in the vein of Charlotte or Washington.
Defensively, they've been really good over the last, like, 10 days, 10 games.
They're not an offensive juggernaut, though, that it feels like everything they were doing offensively was just, hey, do you want to drive this time? No, you can drive. No, how about, hey, let's skip pass over there. You can drive this time. And it was just free lane to the hoop whenever they wanted it. And that's just not, again, even against Orlando, I'm not that worried about the Kings offense. They have too many really, really great scorers to be terrible offensively.
Okay.
Now, the ball movement stuff might be a problem.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I think their offense is in trouble as much as their defense.
Really?
Yeah, because, okay, so offense, you know, and defense are so tied together. Like,
sure.
The way to get transition buckets is of course, to get a defensive stop and get out mm-hmm. on the break, right? But for me, you cannot, like, this is like basketball 101.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take just five great offensive players, set them on the court, and say, we're going to win every game. It never, ever works that way because mm-hmm. you got a bunch of egos. You got a bunch of weirdness going. I'm watching Domantas Sabonis take six shots last night. The night before, I watched Keegan Murray take six shots in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unacceptable. Yeah. What we have right now is a me situation, and it's going to take a little while to figure out all of that.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it's horrific to watch. For me, it makes my eyes bleed. Like, I don't want to watch this like 1990s New York Knicks basketball.
Yes.
It's painful. It is painful to watch. And then I almost, like, there are times where it's almost like, oh, I'm going to pass the ball a bunch of times so no one says anything.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I'm taking too many shots. It's like, okay.
It's not even, I wouldn't even mind that. If Zach LaVine got the ball above the break and went, you know what, hey, I've been dribbling the air out of the ball. I need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. But the issue is I'm going to get rid of it, and then I'm going to stand here. There is so much off the ball. Okay. Like, cut, move, do anything.
I think you throw Jonas Valanciunas out there, and he's like, what is happening? And just runs around and looks like a giant beast on the court, just like, he's the only one moving.
Yes.
Like, what is happening? Look at him go. And everyone else is like, huh.
There was one possession last night where he caught it, like, at the elbow. Like, he came up and he caught it at the elbow. And he turned, like, looking for a cutter. And it's just four guys standing on the perimeter. And he had to throw this weird, like, sidearm pass to get it out to I think it was LaVine, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't, and again, they haven't gotten to practice.
And they're not going to.
They're not going to get a ton of opportunity to practice. They have the All-Star break coming up, which maybe they can get a couple of days in, which we discussed yesterday. But
and per NBA rules, after a back-to-back, you're not allowed to practice.
Right.
So they're no practice today.
I think the overarching issue is, if we're going to zoom out, every team needs to have a hierarchy when it comes to scoring the basketball. That's just a fact of the NBA. Because if not, you're going to get what you're running into with the Kings right now, where it's three different guys, Monk, LaVine, and DeRozan, saying, this is my time.
They're playing King of the Mountain.
Yes. And that's not, well, okay, if you're big into like individual ball handling and shot creation, you might love this. But it's not conducive to winning.
Yeah. If you like watching fancy dribbling and then losses, that's what you're going to get.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. It's just really tough because, again, you're adding players out of nowhere, right? And you're changing the entire direction of the team out of nowhere. We talked about it yesterday a little bit, how like just the basics of the dribble handoff versus a pick and roll, you can visually see on the court that Zach LaVine has never played in a DHO system with a dribble handoff. He does not know where to go with Sabonis.
Nope.
And so right now you can't really do a two-man game. And for some reason, the Kings are trying to work it out on the court as opposed to just giving the ball to Monk and having Monk and Sabonis go get you eight easy baskets in the DHO
game. 1,000%.
In the pick and roll. Like, you're like, what is happening?
Like, Zach, go stand in the corner. We're going to run this two-man game. It might come to you. If you're open, shoot it. If not, put it on the deck, get to the rack, and play make.
And while you're standing in the corner watching, actually watch what's happening. Watch the action. Learn something from what Malik Monk is doing.
A little live film.
It is. It's a live film study. Like, go out there and watch what they're doing. But they've gone away from it completely, and it's like, if I'm Sabonis, I'm sitting here like, if this is the way it's going to be, we'll deal with this in the summer. Mm-hmm. And you guys want, like, do you think he's going to want to be here for that? No.
Definitely not.
No. We talked about this being the Bulls 2.0, Bulls West Coast. It sure does feel like it. And I don't know whose idea was to emulate the Bulls over the last couple of years because they have not been good.
We talked about that. Domantas Sabonis is a significantly better player than Nikola Vucevic.
He's a significantly better player than everyone else on the Kings team.
Yeah. Right now. On the Bulls discussion, though.
Yeah.
We went, hey, he's not, you know, Zach LaVine's played in, you know, with the center, you know, before, but Domas is so much better, so maybe that helps. And it's like, no, they're turning him into Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah.
And that's not what they should be doing.
Not at all.
So, like I said, maybe I'm being overly optimistic in saying they'll figure it out, and I think it'll look better. The problem comes back to that hierarchy, though. And whose team is it? Whose offense is it? Who has the ball in their hands? Who's playmaking? Because to me, it's very obvious that the offense should be running through Malik Monk. When they did that, he's averaging, what, as a starter? He's 20-7?
Yeah, as a really starter? Close. Yeah, really close to 20 points.
Those are good numbers, especially for a modern point guard. Mm-hmm. That's about where you're going to sit, is that 7-8 assist range. And you're going to get that with Malik Monk. The problem is that's not off-ball stuff. Is not DeMar DeRozan's game.
No.
Off-ball stuff is not Zach LaVine's game. And can they play? Can they do things? Sure, but it's not their primary job. And I don't know that getting them to fit in an offense that is primarily the Sabonis-Monk two-man game, I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing. Because if every time they get the ball, it's put it on the deck and I'm going to work for my shot, That's not going to lead to a ton of wins. It might work on some nights where Zach LaVine gets hot and he goes 15-22 from the field and 9-13 from three. And wow, look, he scored. He had 40 last night. And maybe you win that one. But on a night-to-night basis, on a game-in, game-out basis, especially in a playoff series where you're facing a team seven times in a row and they're going to figure out what you're doing, it's just not it's not going to play. So, I like I said, I don't think they're going to get held to 102 every night, because there are going to be certain little things they figure out, and I think they'll start being more efficient offensively. But at their core, they've stacked up two offensive players in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, who just don't fit with what they want to do offensively. Or what they should be doing offensively.
I'm hoping that it's learning with LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, DeMar is who he is, and you're not going to change that. And it's okay to have a player like DeMar. You can't have multiple players like DeMar that have. And so really, you're just looking at dueling banjos.
Yep.
Like that, it just doesn't work. And like, unfortunately, we've seen it in the first two games, but like it's early. They do need practice time. They need time to figure things out. I'm not hitting some panic button. I just know that like the analytics said that this is what it would look like already. Mm-hmm. And that's why this trade wasn't made years ago, because the analytics said, no, it's not going to work. And we're seeing it play out in real time. Mm-hmm. And you're just hoping that they can make adjustments and they can learn how to play together and they can push forward. Because yep. what we saw right now, I don't care how many years DeMar DeRozan played with Valanciunas. I don't care how many years DeRozan and LaVine played together. They haven't played with Monk. They haven't played with Sabonis. When you get them all together, it doesn't look right.
Nope. It sure doesn't. Okay, the Super Bowl is happening. FYI, we're going to dive into the Super Bowl coming up in a bit. Chiefs and Eagles, we've got a rematch of that one. We'll dig into that one. And I think Monty McNair yesterday made the second most important acquisition of his tenure, and we'll talk about it next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. James is over there. I'm Kyle. The Kings made a couple of trades, one of which debuted last night. Jonas Valanciunas debuted for the Kings last night.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we're trying to inject like some layer of positivity into this.
Yes.
With our giveaway from our friends at Jiffy Lube.
Okay.
So today's keyword, which you can enter at ESPN1320.com, you go to the Jiffy Lube contest page. And if you enter the keyword there that we're about to give you, Jiffy Lube's going to hook you up. Well, and if you get picked to win, you don't just get it. This is how you enter
to
win. You're
entering to win.
The winner will get hooked up from Jiffy Lube with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get through this contest or if you work here.
But and they're super nice.
They're really nice. There was no expense
spared.
There was no expense spared. I was going to say paid. That's wrong. There was no expense spared in the making of these hoodies. Our guy Jim designed them. They're extremely dope. We got them in red, blue, black. So you win that with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. All you got to do is go to the ESPN1320.com Jiffy Lube contest page and enter the code word Jonas. J-O-N-A-S.
Yep.
Jonas.
Like Jonas, but only it's pronounced Jonas.
Right. The Jonas Brothers.
Yep.
I don't know. No, Valanciunas is good last night, man. 6 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 17 minutes.
He just looked like a highly competent center.
It was jarring.
It was so jarring. And I got to be honest, Donovan Clingan looks like every single 7 foot white center from the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
I'm just watching Randy Brewer run up and down the court. I'm watching Jim Peterson run up and down the court. I don't know what to say.
Guy's still very much figuring it out in the NBA.
He just looks like every super tall guy from, you know, like he's not as tall as Mark Eaton, but right there.
Yeah, like, just, yeah. Yeah, he moves. The way he moves, it just looks like the game's still a little fast.
Yeah, yeah. Gray Ghoster tag. Got it.
Good one.
Yep.
The other trade the Kings made might be the second most significant acquisition in the Monty McNair era.
I'm here for this take, Kyle. I need to know this take.
I love Jake LaRavia for this Kings team.
Okay.
He's not the best player Monty McNair has acquired.
No. Nope.
Not by a long shot. But what have we been asking for? We've been asking for perimeter players with size.
Yep.
He's 6'7".
6'8".
He's 6'7 or 6'8. and he does the things like I'm of the mind that the Kings did not need more players who are like, hey, get in the ball and he's gonna go score. They needed players like Keon.
Mm-hmm.
that are just gonna play good defense. They're gonna get a tough rebound. They're gonna steal a couple extra possessions per game. They're just gonna know where to be on the court, and they're just gonna do the right stuff. They might not put anything on the stat sheet, and they can have an impact.
Yep,
that is what Jake LaRavia does. He's gonna play his ass off defensively. He's gonna shoot the heck out of the basketball. He's not gonna create a ton, but he's gonna go grab some rebounds, and he's gonna hustle, and he's gonna play hard, and he's gonna do it at 6 foot eight. Seven. Six, seven and a half.
Six, 6 3/4 without shoes.
6'7"-ish. He's going to do it at small forward / power forward size. Like, this is a big deal. When I was watching the Kings last night, and I'm watching that lineup, I texted you. It was Valanciunas with I think it was Keon, Keegan, Trey Lyles, and Devin Carter. And I was like, man, if they had another, like, just... if Devin Carter was 3 years from now and just like a more functional NBA player.
Yes.
Who wasn't a rookie in his 10th game or whatever it is.
A rookie that missed the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Of, you know. Like.
And not to say that Jake LaRavia would necessarily play with that specific lineup, but you see all these pieces that you can put together, and he's just a connector to me. For so many of these lineups where you look and you go, they just need a little more defense in this lineup. A little more shooting in this lineup. I think he can fit with everything they want to do, because he knows he's a role player and he fits into that role, and he's going to slot perfectly into what the Kings need. He's going to make an impact the second he steps on the floor, and he's going to do it without needing to have the ball in his freaking hands.
I hope that you're right with all of that, because I mean, basically what you're describing is like a Martin twin. We keep asking for that type of player.
Yes.
A player that goes out there and is the connector, the guy mm-hmm. that helps put piece everything together and doesn't require a whole bunch of extra. Mm-hmm. My only concern is that every time we think that the Kings get one of these guys, it doesn't really work out that way. You know, the Chris Duartes of the world, there are multiple players like this over the course of the last 5 years where you think, oh, well, that might really work, and mm-hmm. then it doesn't. So I think the one good thing is LaRavia is he's durable. He's a guy that's been playing 20 minutes a night for a very, very good Memphis Grizzlies team. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised that they moved off of him. Like they had the Marcus Smart deal that they had to make some moves but they're clearing up salary space and all that stuff. But I was surprised because the guy can play. He can shoot. He's shown that he has been part of a rotation on a good team this season.
Yep.
And so you're hoping that he steps right on the court and just does the little stuff, the dirty work. You know, I think some of the biggest issues that I have, even like the last couple of games, is you're watching Domantas Sabonis pick up number one cheap fouls because his guards are getting blown by, mm-hmm. right? So that's a problem. But then he's also getting fouls on rebounds, mm-hmm. and he's getting fouls on rebounds because no one else is doing anything. Where are you? Where is everybody? He fouled out last night on a rebound where he went up. Where was his forward or his guard blocking
out?
Get
a body on somebody.
Get a body on anybody. Why is it Domas' responsibility to go up and get every single rebound?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this is a guy that doesn't mind mixing it up a little bit. There are players like this that go around in the NBA and are highly successful because they do the little things. And I would realistically go to Memphis in the same way a lot of teams used to go to San Antonio
mm-hmm.
and try to like pilfer their peripheral players
yeah.
because they learn how to play. Memphis players know how to play. They fit guys into a system and they just keep rolling. And this is one of those guys.
The fact that you spit out pilfer their peripheral players without even slowing down
yeah.
or thinking about it is extremely impressive. I want to let you know that.
Okay.
I sat here thinking about how I needed to pronounce that to say it right on the first try, and you just said pilfer their peripheral players just on a line. That was incredible. But Jake LaRavia, 7 points, 4 boards, 3 assists in 21 minutes a night off the bench this year for Memphis while playing really good defense.
And what does he shoot from three?
He's 44% this year, but he was 34% last year.
Yeah.
But and he came 34% into, the year before that.
He came into the league as a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe the best player to ever come out of Indiana State University, some are saying. That's a Larry Bird joke, in case anybody.
Yeah.
Anyways. No, I just, when I saw this yesterday, I just like Jake LaRavia from the little bit of Memphis I watched, because again, he's one of those players that you'll watch Memphis play and you'll be like, man, I bet Jake LaRavia has like 16 and 9 tonight. And then you'll look and he has 6 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just around.
He's just kind of like a young, like small forward slash power forward version of Trey Lyles. Like, it's same type of player, mm-hmm. where when you put them on the floor, you understand that they're going to do the right thing most of the time.
Yes.
They're not going to go outside of their comfort zone. They're not going to throw a ball 18 rows deep into the stands trying to do some crazy pass.
Nope.
And, you know, maybe it isn't, like, super sexy, but you have other players that can do that.
That's it. They didn't need that. They needed this.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play hard on defense. He's going to grab rebounds. He's going to knock down threes when it gets to him. He's not going to try and do too much with the ball in his hands.
He's going to pass when he needs to pass.
Really smart cutter.
Uh-huh.
I think this is going to be, even if he averages 7 and 3, I think it's going to be one of those, or 7 and 4 he's at this year. Even if he averaged 7 points and 4 boards, this is going to be one of those additions that if the Kings do kind of get on a little bit of a roll here, there's going to be a lot of nights where we're going, man, Jake LaRavia had some really good minutes.
Yep.
And he's just a player they didn't have. He's not a 6'8", 6'7"-ish.
Yeah. No. I was 6'8", with shoes. And
taller than 6'6".
6'8", with shoes. That's fine. I don't think he is a lockdown defender. I think he's a good team defender. I think he's going to be a hustle player. He's going to do a lot of the dirty work, and
that's it. It's not,
yeah, you have to have those guys.
But again, and this is where, I think you can feel good about him in a lineup with Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray. And then let's say Monk and Sabonis. But if you want, you can put LaVine and Valanciunas or whoever. Like, you just need a person who can handle the basketball. You feel good about him being out there because, okay, Keon can take the best guard and Keegan can get the best wing and Jake LaRavia can competently defend the third guy. And right now they just don't have that.
Yep.
So I'm a huge fan of the fit here. And I think that Jake LaRavia is going to make an impact for the Kings.
Yeah, and, you know, today we're going to get a chance to, at 2 o'clock, the Kings are holding a press conference again today with Jonas Valanciunas and Jake LaRavia. So we'll get a chance to, like, hear him a little bit and how he thinks he fits and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it's one of those things where you can't just keep going out and thinking that all you have to add is superstar-level players or star-level players or guys who average 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how functional basketball works. Look at every team that around the league and just really for as many stars as like the Knicks have, it's, you know, Hart that is such a huge part mm-hmm. of what they do because he does all of the dirty work
mm-hmm.
and really good teams. That's what they do. They have these other guys, the Lou Dorts of the world.
Yes.
And got to have them.
Those guys get elevated as role players because of the stars around them. They get elevated because they are very good in their roles. I don't think OG Anunoby in a vacuum is a player that somebody believes is a NBA star. Mikal Bridges, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you plug him in with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart, and you put him in the roles that they play, and you're like, wow, that's an awesome player.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday, same thing. Jrue Holiday has built a Hall of Fame career off being the guy who's just perfect in his role. Not a superstar in the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown vein, but really elite at what he does because he just does the right stuff.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the Doug Christie role.
That's great,
he needs to find out. And I mean, it's LaRavia's like more in line with Scott Pollard, you know, and how he fit in and helped mm-hmm. the team than he is in line with Doug Christie as a starter,
mm-hmm.
but as a, you know, a guy who is, you know, your 8th, 9th, 10th guy,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that he can earn solid minutes by doing the right thing all the time.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll have to see, though. There are so many moving pieces, and to try to put this thing together again for a first-year coach in the middle of a season after you lost your 1A,
mm-hmm.
it's just really, really difficult. This is, like, jumbled up, and there are pieces everywhere, and you've got to try to put it together. If you're Doug Christie, and I, like, this is a tall task.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be easy for sure.
Yeah.
The other thing that jumped out to me last night, and something that I think is going to be worth discussion going forward, is I'm more concerned than ever. I shouldn't say concerned. I am more sure than ever, more confident than ever. I think this is just Keegan. I think this is just kind of who he's going to be as a pro. And that's not this is not a knock on him. It's not that he's a bad player. But he's averaging, what, 12 and 7 this year, I think?
Yeah.
12 points, 7 boards. Yeah, you see, I think he's going to be a better shooter than he is this year. But this leap from Keegan Murray, Kawhi Leonard was the name that came up a lot early last year. Because it was like, wow, look at this jump he's taking defensively. We already know he can shoot. If he can create a little bit, oh my God, a powerhouse. An absolute juggernaut. And it's just becoming more clear to me that I was worried about it last year, and it's just being cemented this year. I don't think he's ever going to get into that like max extension, max contract type of player. I think he's going to be an awesome role player.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. We just talked about all the guys on the Celtics who are going to go to the Hall of Fame because they play really good roles. But I kind of think this is just him. He's 24. He turns 25 before next season. It's not like this is some 22-year-old still figuring it out. You mentioned it. 10 shots against OKC, 11 shots against Minnesota. 11 shots against Minnesota in a game where he scored 17 in the first quarter. 6 shots against Orlando, and then 10 last night.
And all of it was in the first half. He had one shot after halftime.
It's not, like I said, it feels disappointing because the bar got set so high for him.
Mm-hmm.
He came out blazing his rookie year. It's like, man, arrow pointing way up. Year two, got way better defensively. Not as good offensively, but hey, you know what? He can bounce back offensively. Combining that with that defense, ooh, there might be an all-NBA type of player in here. There might be an all-star type of player here. And then, oh, he's a role guy.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad. I'm just lowering my personal bar for where I think Keegan's going.
Well, I think he went from being like a max rookie scale extension player to a 4-year, $80, $85 million player.
Yeah.
Which
is not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, again, I would put him in the same exact like bucket that you put Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson throughout his career. This is who he's been.
Mm-hmm.
This year is him averaging over 19 points a game. That's just...
Keegan would do that on the Nets too, I think.
Yeah, well, I think anyone would do that on the Nets because they don't have anyone else scoring. But I also, like, realistically, Cam has never been that player, and then all of a sudden he is that player, and that's where you're like, okay, red flag. Like, I don't believe that that's who he is, and I think there would be a more likely that if you were... that the Kings, if they would have gone out and got Cam Johnson and put him on this roster, would have instantly dropped to 12 to 13 points a game and gone back to who he is as a player. Still a great shooter, still a very, very good athlete, still a good defender, very switchable, all those things, but just shave 6 points off his points per game because personality-wise, that's who he is. He's not going to be able to step in and go, hey, I'm the guy who's averaging almost 20 points a game. Give me the ball, where Malik Monk is.
Yep.
And DeMar DeRozan, he doesn't care. He's going to go, if you're not going to give him those shots, he's literally going to walk over and just take the ball from you and then go dribble and go do his thing.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think like Keegan's personality plays so much into this and the leap that he hasn't taken. I don't think the Kings have helped him.
I'd feel so much different if he was 22 years old.
Oh, yeah.
But he's 24 now. He'll be 25 at the start of next year.
Yeah.
I think this might just be who he is. And again, not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah, and just he'll fluctuate between like
where he fits with the Kings.
12 and 16 points per game for his career, and that's what he's going to be because that's kind of where the team has kind of pushed him.
Yep.
And really, that's what they've done.
Yep.
You just 1,000%. Went out and got a whole nother scorer that can go take more shots away. So, interesting.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl. We'll do plenty of more Kings, but the Chiefs and Eagles are playing on Sunday. The oxygen has been sucked out of the room by the NBA trade deadline and all the stuff going on with the Kings. So we're going to spend a little time talking football.
Oh,
yeah, we'll do that next. That's James. Pretty significant game on Sunday, I've heard.
I love football.
That's James and Kyle. We're the Insiders back in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Hey.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Before we get into the Super Bowl, Valentine's Day is next Friday, y'all. 1 week from today. The good news is, if you're like, oh, shoot, that's a week from today, I got to do something. James and I got you.
We do. We've got you. We have partnered with Strelitzia Flowers out of Davis, California. Absolutely spectacular. They've been in business for over 50 years. Local business. Started their company by going and selling flowers on the campus of UC Davis out of a bucket. These are good people who do great work. And we are very excited to partner with them. We are going to give away a dozen long stem roses with free delivery. We've been giving one away every day this week. I don't know if you won out there or not, but we'll have a contest. We have a contest page. We'll give you a code word for that in a little while. But if not, don't be that guy that waits until the last second. You know, sports station here, we do have a large male population in the chat, but also as you know, listeners out there, go out and get ahead of the game and don't be that guy at the grocery store at 5 o'clock on Valentine's Day picking through the dregs of what's left.
You don't want that.
No. So go to StrelitziaFlowersCompany.com and use the code RADIO224 for $10 off any purchase of $100 or more. Also, if you go to ESPN1320.com, we actually have a button right there. You can click on it and go straight to their website where you can order flowers for next Friday. We'll be back talking about this in just a little while, and we'll give you a code word. So make sure to tune in, and we will give you a code word for today's drawing for a dozen long stem roses.
Hell yeah. Call the Oak Grove Kia Talk on at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. So the Super Bowl is happening on Sunday.
Okay.
Chiefs-Eagles rematch of a couple of years ago, a thrilling game a couple of years ago that the Eagles were a holding call away from winning. I know there's a lot of, I don't like to be fan police.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate this so much that you're not going to watch, cool.
Yeah.
If you're not a football fan and you're like, yeah, the Super Bowl does nothing for me, cool. I don't, it's just for me, and again, this is not hating, this is just complex. DJ Complex.
Yeah.
Not a sports guy.
He doesn't know anything about sports at all.
He'll come up in the kitchen here at the studio and be like, hey, so how are the sports?
Yes.
They're sportsing, dude. No, but he goes, oh yeah, that's right, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. He's like, that's my favorite day to go to Costco because nobody's there.
The day before? Oh no.
Nightmare.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you're right now, honestly, if you gotta go to Costco at any point before the Super Bowl, Godspeed. No, but he's like, that's what, and I can't compute in my brain that's a thing that people do, that you can just wake up on Super Bowl Sunday because it's just been an event my entire life.
Oh yeah,
I don't remember what happened in the last time the Niners were in the Super Bowl because I was 4, but I remember January of 95. I remember my parents having people over at the house. And we just had Super Bowl parties down the street at a neighbor's house every year. So that's just been a thing my entire life. I can't put myself in the space of the person who just wakes up on Super Bowl Sunday and is like, it's a normal Sunday. There's nothing going on. I'm going to go to Costco now. What? There's a whole global event happening.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
In all honesty, I would watch just for the commercials.
Yeah.
Like that, if I'm, I would just sit there and watch.
Do you do a Super Bowl like shindig, little party?
We probably will have like a small group of people over this year.
Do you shush everyone when the commercials are on?
Yeah, sometimes
it's tough though.
It is. It's tough. You don't want to be rude, but you have to be like, hey, there's a commercial on.
There's so many times where because you'll get the post Super Bowl write ups of like, here's the all the commercials ranked. And I'll go read those, and I'm like, I remember 4 of these.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't, you know, if you're not listening or you're not paying attention, you're just going to, it's a commercial. It's on for 30 or 60 seconds, and it's over.
Yeah. We got the new TV.
Yeah, that's big time for you.
I'm excited.
Just in time for the big game.
To have, to watch it on the new TV, and then, you know, the bar. Got the bar cooking.
These are, regardless of what you feel about the Chiefs and the Eagles, I haven't decided who I'm rooting for yet.
Okay.
I'll find out Sunday. I'm rooting for my underdog lineups first. Like, that's the main thing
here. That's a segue right there.
But nah, no, not really. that's just what I'm doing. So I'll have a rooting interest there. But I literally, I've flip-flopped so many times on, I'm definitely rooting for the Chiefs because I cannot stand the Eagles. Big Dom and Nick Sirianni and the fan base, they
the
just
tush
like
push.
I'm fine with the tush push, to be honest. figure out how to stop it. the Bills couldn't figure out how to get a first down with one. But no, so there's like so many things I dislike about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's just a lot of things I don't like about the Chiefs. I don't want to watch them win again. I need a Chiefs fan to be humbled one time. But then it's like at the expense of the Eagles winning. But anyways, I'll find out Sunday when something happens in the game and my body is like, yes, I'm glad that thing happened.
I love that you can have that moment. Because I'm just walking in the game, I don't really care.
Sure.
But if I have to choose a team, I'm choosing the Chiefs.
Yep. When someone says, who are you rooting for?
Yeah. Like mm-hmm. when the Niners were there against the Chiefs, it was like all in on Niners.
Of course.
Now it's like, okay. Like if the Chiefs win, I will be happy.
Yeah.
If the Eagles win, I'll be like, meh. Like, okay. It's fine. Like,
I'm not going to shed a tear. It's going to ruin my day. Yeah. No. And it'll be cool. Like, honestly, if the Eagles win, I'm tapping in to WIP, our sister station in Philly, on the Free Odyssey app. And I'm watching all the videos of the carnage that's going to happen in Philly streets. It's going to be incredible. That fan base is amazing. I hate them, but they're incredible.
Yep, they are.
So I don't quite know yet who I'm pulling for.
I do like that. Like the week of this is usually the biggest week, right? Where mm-hmm. you get the Hall of Fame announcements, and we do have that.
Mm-hmm.
And did Eli Manning get snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No,
like, no, he did.
He
not
didn't. Also, Luke Kuechly didn't get snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Patrick Willis had to wait 5 ballots to get in, Luke Kuechly can wait a while.
That's right.
Get out of here.
I do like I like the class though.
It's a strong, really strong class.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought the video today of LaDainian Tomlinson surprising mm-hmm. Antonio Gates, absolutely spectacular.
Yep.
Like such a cool video.
Yep.
I'm here for Jared Allen, Eric Allen, and Sterling Sharp makes it.
Shout out to Sterling Sharp, man.
Yeah.
In my brain, he's been a Hall of Famer. I'm so happy he's in.
It was just his career was so short because of the injury.
Yep.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah, no, he was great. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So,
And Josh Allen is your NFL MVP, despite not being a first-team All-Pro.
That's weird.
So I've heard the explanation on that,
okay,
on the split vote, because there were a bunch of people who voted Lamar Jackson first-team All-Pro ahead of Josh Allen, but then Josh Allen MVP ahead of Lamar Jackson. And the explanation is essentially the All-Pro stuff is stats. What are the best stats? And Lamar Jackson's statistics were better than Josh Allen's.
Okay.
But then Josh Allen got the MVP votes because there's more of like a team dynamic and a team aspect to that. I think what it is the reason Nikola Jokic lost to Joel Embiid a couple of years ago. Because they said, hey, he's not going to get a third one here because he hasn't won a title yet. He doesn't get to enter that stratosphere of having 3 MVPs because he has not won a title. He doesn't get to be that. So here, Joel Embiid had a great year. He's going to get it. That's why I think Josh Allen got it. Because people went, Lamar Jackson doesn't get to be back-to-back without a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets held over his head. He was better than Josh Allen this year. Like just
Yeah.
Straight up.
I agree.
And
but
that,
team-wise, the Bills were better.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So if that's the explanation, like, okay. But I think part of it is people look at Lamar Jackson and then they go, okay, he was good in the regular season, but how good was he really? Because look at the playoffs. And I think that is something, and it's, dude, we talk about, we have this exact same conversation about Domantas Sabonis. It's, okay, yeah, that's a nice regular season, but like, hey, playoffs, anyone? Like, that, I think that's what's happening to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen doesn't run into it because everybody goes, oh man, poor Josh Allen against the Chiefs. Boy, he just can't. He was so good, but you know what? The refs screwed him. And then there was the 13 seconds game where he didn't get the ball back at the end. Man, Josh Allen really, I mean, in spirit, has beat the Chiefs a couple of times already. He deserves an MVP. This was the MVP Luka was supposed to win this year. Like, here's your lifetime achievement award.
Yes.
You just get it. Just don't faceplant, don't get hurt, and faceplant, and you're going to be the MVP. I think that's what happened.
Well, now there's a potential because he's a Laker for him to get six MVPs, so we'll see.
Six MVPs in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
they'll override the rule about the 65 games. No, Luka gets it. We're good.
All right. We got more Kings coming up. We got more Super Bowl coming up. We're going to give you some free stuff. Mad Props at 11:45. Jesse Tapia is going to hop in for Mad Props. It's going to be a ton of fun. Plus your calls on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line at 916-909-1320. All that coming up in a jam-packed second hour. He's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're rocking with you until noon, and then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you up to the weekend at 4 o'clock. Of course, the Super Bowl this weekend. You can go down to Sky River Casino and watch the big game at 32 Brewer Street with D'Lo and KC if you want to do that. You got to call ahead and get a reservation. If you just want to go hang out at the humidor with them, starting, I think, at 2 o'clock up until the game starts, that you can just walk in and hang out. They'll be chilling in there. And if you want to watch the big game, though, at 32 Brewer Street, which I highly recommend, tons of TV, great food, great drinks, you got to call and make a reservation. Again, that's inside Sky River Casino to watch the big game with D'Lo and KC. All right, there's a couple of things I want to do.
Okay.
I want to get to our caller that we have on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line. I want to give away flowers, and I want to talk about the Kings in the buyout market because the trade deadline has passed.
Okay.
So if they're going to add players, it would likely be via the buyout market.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do flowers first.
Okay.
Let's give away a dozen long stem roses with delivery. Let's hook up the homies with that.
Okay.
And then we'll get to our caller, and then we'll talk buyouts.
Okay.
Okay? That's what we're going to do on the fly. Here we go. James Hamm.
Love is in the air. ESPN 1320 is excited to give you a chance to celebrate all kinds of love this Valentine's Day with Strelitzia Flowers. You have a chance to win one dozen long stem roses with delivery courtesy of Strelitzia Flowers. To enter, all you have to do is listen to us here on the Insiders. And for the code word, enter the code word on the contest page at ESPN1320.com. You can also visit StrelitziaFlowersCompany.com. Use the code word radio224 for $10 off any purchase of $100 or more. Kyle.
Yes.
What is the code word for today for people to enter to win a dozen long stem roses?
You know what? I'm so glad you asked. Dozen.
Dozen?
Dozen. D-O-Z-E-N.
All right. Excellent. Everybody go right now. Enter to win. We have given away four already this week. We've got one more to give away this week. Super excited. They hand deliver everything. So this is like beautiful, gorgeous, long stem roses that will melt somebody's heart. So again, go to ESPN1320.com right now. Click on the Strelitzia Flowers logo and enter to win using the code word dozen.
D-O-Z-E. And let's hit the Elk Grove Kia Talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Don, you are on the Insiders with Kyle and James. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
Good, good. I just want to call to talk about kind of Doug Christie and coaching here. And I just feel like he has a really tough conversation that needs to be had. Because with Monk and Keon and DeMar, you're 4-0, and this team really needs some scoring off the bench. And it's like, God, I know Zach's a 45 million dollar player, but I don't know. It seems like it's just a really unnatural fit with you know, Monk and DeMar and Zach all in the starting lineup. And there's only one ball, and they're not great at cutting or setting back screens or things like that. So I don't know. To me, this kind of might be Doug Christie's moment where he just has to make a really tough call and pull everyone together on this thing. And I don't know, just kind of curious what your thoughts are on that.
Hey, Don, what's your name?
Dan.
Dan.
Close enough. I know about the whole Dom thing, but Dan, Dom.
Hey, shout out to you. What? Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call, man.
It's one letter. Okay, thank you.
Perfect. Look, dude, I'm here already. I'm in this Start Keon boat.
Yeah.
There's literally tens of us. We're just over here hanging out.
I think there's more like thousands of you because I hear it all night long.
Let's go. Let's go.
And my feeds wherever you follow James on social media.
I thought I was just on this island, and it turns out there's an entire civilization on the other side of the island.
Yeah.
No, it's just you were explaining this at the break, and if you want to hang out with us during the breaks, please do it. YouTube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. But no, we're talking about this, man. Like, I am firmly in the camp that Keon Ellis should be starting.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the player out of Monk, DeRozan, and LaVine that should come off the bench. I have advocated that it should be DeMar DeRozan at this point, but it's not about one of those players is bad. It's not about they can't score. It's just about fit. And it's about maximizing what the Kings are doing.
Yep.
On a night-to-night basis. The problem is what you brought up at the break, and everybody's going to tell you. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube with Malik Monk.
Nope.
He's their lead guard.
He's only point guard on the roster.
He's the only...
Straight up. Yes,
yeah, in the most traditional sense point guard that they have. Zach LaVine, you just traded for him. He makes $43 million or whatever it is. He can't come off the bench. Okay, that's why I get to DeMar DeRozan. Everybody goes, whoa, hey, he's a Hall of Famer. He can't come off the bench.
Averaging 20 a game.
Yeah, I would love to have that 20 a game off the bench.
Okay.
He can still do it. Manu Ginobili.
They're trying to give
Hall
away.
Hall of Famer off the
right
bench.
Right now, you're just trying to give away your Jake LaRavia minutes right there. Keon into the starting lineup.
Well,
DeMar
got,
off the
got,
bench. There goes Jake LaRavia's minutes.
Well, if I got to give up my Jay LaRave minutes, I'm not doing it. I mean, I take back everything I've ever said. I want off this island. No, but man, it makes the most sense. And I completely agree with our caller, Dan. Like, that's the right move. The problem is the Kings aren't in a spot where they're going to make that move.
Yeah, I had someone on Twitter last night, Stock Jock 16.
Oh, the great Stock Jock 16.
Let's
sure.
push our media to ask tough questions. They did a good job versus Monty the other day.
Versus.
Please ask Doug why he isn't starting and closing with Keon when it gives the Kings the best chance to win. Like I'm not going to keep asking a question that, number one, has been asked multiple times, and number two, I know the answer to. So, like, that's it. Like, there is no holding anyone to the fire, feet to the fire. Like, I hate to tell you.
It's not like that's just it. Is I will go to their next home game. And because the only press conference question I've ever asked, I asked Mike Brown, like, hey, you guys are 9-0 or whatever it was when Keon Ellis starts. Why doesn't he start?
Yeah.
And he gave some answer about Kevin and... I don't even remember. I didn't feel like it was a satisfactory answer. But you're gonna ask,
mm-hmm.
And if let's say you ask that, you open Doug's Nest Presser and you go, hey, why don't you start and close with Keon? And he'll give some answer, and then I can jump in and be like, that's not good enough.
You can't handle the truth.
He's gonna say because Monty McNair got asked kind of the same question twice the other day. And he basically said, well, I kind of just answered that. And that's what you're going to get. So we're going to ask.
Yeah.
In fact, like I said, I will do that. I'll go and go, hey, Keon seems to be playing great. Is there any consideration to having him in the starting or closing lineup? And he's going to say no, because you have Zach LaVine, who's a great scorer, and you have Malik Monk, who's their point guard, and you have DeMar DeRozan, who's a Hall of Famer, and then you have Keegan out there for size, and you're not going to take Domas off the court. Those guys are going to start for sure. And so it's just about figuring out the minutes and the rotations to make sure Keon's on the floor as much as possible, but they're going to start with that group, and those are talented players, and you feel like they're going to figure it out, so he's going to give them time to figure it out, blah, 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 blah. Like, I promise.
That's it.
He's not going to go like, oh my God, I haven't even thought about that.
Wait, I can start him?
Yeah. It's
That's
just
a thing?
So I get the wanting to ask hard questions and stuff, and I think for the most part, they typically do. It's just those questions aren't going to necessarily get asked and lead to some like blow up confrontation.
Well, yeah, and I like we can't literally ask the same question every single game. That's mm-hmm. just like, and I get it. Like there are people out there that really want this question answered, but they're going to give you the same answer they did before, and that's all I can tell you. Is you know they have other people that also have to have minutes and mm-hmm. also like they're big money players.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the issue here.
Yep. Now, if one of those players, be it Monk or DeRozan or LaVine,
mm-hmm.
walks up to Doug Christie and goes, hey, we're sputtering. We're a game below 500.
Mm-hmm.
We are clinging to a play-in spot. I think we can really elevate if I come off the bench. Start Keon and bring me off the bench. Then now it's different.
Yep, it's a different story.
But I would obviously be super down to start Keon, and I would just sit down and have a tough conversation with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah.
But that's also not the reality of the NBA.
Well, that and go back to what Mike has said before he was let go here. He's like, if I start the best five players, why he didn't want to start Malik Monk. Once you hit the button, it was over. But
yep.
like he was very clear. He's like, if I start my five best players and it doesn't work, where do I turn? Like that's
you got nothing.
I got nothing. Like that's it.
Yep.
I put my five best players out there. Your players are better than my five best players. Now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we're at a lot of times right now.
Yep.
You put your five best players out there. They get off to a slow start in the first quarter. Done. Like,
yep.
Like,
and sometimes you can claw your way back into the game, but that's not a sustainable way to win basketball
nope,
games.
Not.
Anyways. 916-909-1320. That's the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. 916-909-1320. Don, you're on the Insiders. What's up?
Are you saying Don or Don?
Don.
A-W-N? Oh, okay.
Yeah, D-O-N. It's like a pan-pam situation.
Yeah, exactly. first thing I just wanted to say, thank you guys for taking my call, being on the air. Appreciate it. Thank
yeah,
you.
Thanks for calling.
I also wanted to say, you guys are absolutely right, but I feel like the only thing Doug Christie with his lineups is just to let them know, like, hey, you guys have 3 minutes at the start of the game. If you're not getting stops, somebody's going to sit. And then I got to put Keon in, and then you're going to have to sit here and ride with the second unit. Like, that's just what it is. Like,
mm-hmm.
like James said, the money, how much all these guys are getting paid, the only one you pull out is Keegan. And I would tell, if I'm Doug, I'm telling them, if your name rhymes with Zydrunas Marshallonis, you're the only one that gets to stay after 2 minutes. Like, that's it. If you guys aren't playing defense, one of you is going to have to sit. Show me something. And I feel like Doug has said that on the radio before in the sure. past, like, you know, having that conversation with him. And I feel like he's the kind of guy that he relates to people. Like, he meets you on mm-hmm. your level. He's like a motivator. I listen to Doug Christie, and then I'm just doing push-ups. And I'm like, oh, God, this guy's awesome.
I've right? tried that in the middle of the media room, and people look at me weird. Like,
that's great. And what's your actual name?
My name's CJ.
CJ, appreciate the call, CJ. Thanks, man. That's one of the problems of the timing here,
mm-hmm.
is I think, again, I think what CJ is saying is like, hey, that's a good idea. It's probably easier said than done, because who do you pull out at that 3 minute mark? And let's say you're down 10.
Yeah.
A, who do you pull out? And pause. And B, I don't. You just added Zach LaVine. They're going to let that, whether you think they should or not, the reality is they're going to let that try and work itself out. They're going to let DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine and Malik Monk play together as much as humanly possible early on.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get extended run, especially when they're not practicing. They're going to get some extended run to try and figure this thing out. And the problem is let's say they get to 15 games of Zach LaVine and they're like, ugh, this is just not, this isn't, okay. And Doug does what CJ was saying. He goes to those guys and says, you have 3 minutes. And if you're not figuring out in those 3 minutes, one of you is coming off the court, Keon's going in and we're starting our rotation. You can do that, but you have at that point, if you wait 15 games, you have what, like 20 games left? And at that point, you might be cooked.
Well, Kyle, the only pathway forward the Kings have right now,
mm-hmm.
just today.
Jake LaRavia.
Yes, is Jake LaRavia. The only pathway forward they have is with the starting group that they have. And to try to give them enough time on the court together to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way forward right now.
As of today, I agree.
You can say, oh, we're going to throw in Keon, but you're limiting the ceiling of your team by not just running them out there. And I know there's a good chance that the Kings are not going to figure this out and that they're going to lose a lot more games than they win in the second half of the season, and this team is not going to make the playoffs. I'm just being honest.
Sure.
Go ahead.
I want to stick on something you just said. You think they lower their ceiling if you... I'm just going to stick with DeMar here. It can be whatever player you want. I'm going to say DeMar. If they move DeMar DeRozan to the bench and Keon Ellis into the starting lineup, and let's say DeMar is amenable to this and you're going to get... He's a 36-year-old pro. I don't think he'd pout either way. But you're going to get just the best version of him coming off the bench.
You think
it lowers their ceiling?
Yeah, I do. I think the best path forward for this team is for the five key guys to get on the same page, figure out how to play together. And if somehow you can make the playoffs, the only way through, Keon can be a huge part of what's happening, mm-hmm. but the only way through is for them to get those five players firing on all cylinders, whether they're starting together or they're playing, you know, in spot duty off the bench together, whatever. It doesn't matter. Still, the key is that those five players have to learn how to play together. Mm-hmm. Because Keon can play with anybody on any day of the week.
Sure.
He can. And Jonas Valanciunas, he can jump in and do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, if you can't get those five players on the same page, your season's sunk one way or another. And it might be sunk already and we just don't see it.
Sure.
Or we do see it and we just don't want to admit it.
One way they could save it is the buyout market. We'll talk about that next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, Charlie gets a superstar whistle. That's fine. I get it now.
All right.
I didn't know.
We'll see.
I'll adapt my expectations going forward.
We'll see when people come in and sit in the chair and then hear it. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Wait.
I'm not going to say anything. Don't, because okay. I would be stunned if Jesse's listening right now. He's not here, is he? No, yeah, no. Nobody say anything to Jesse.
Okay.
I'm just going to let it play and we'll see if he has any kind of reaction.
Okay.
Anyways.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Where are we going with this discussion?
Jiffy Lube is what I'm calling it.
Shout out to Jiffy Lube. Are the Kings going to be players in the buyout market?
I mean.
let me ask you this. Could they, via the buyout market, via players available in free agency, do you think there's a player they could go get that would have any kind of a tangible impact?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, we haven't seen who's getting bought out yet. And there's always this idea that someone's getting bought out and then they don't, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going to have to wait and see. But for me, like, look, the Kings, all of a sudden, they should always be looking for a small forward or power forward, 6'8", 6'9", you know. Like, if someone decides to waive one of those guys, the Kings mm-hmm. should be all in, right? But I also think that they now have a glaring hole at the reserve point guard position.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a guy that gets waived here in the next day or two or 5 days that makes sense to the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether, again, like, I don't know if Bones Highland, he got traded. I don't know if he's getting waived. I don't know if, you know, again, DeLon Wright would get waived mm-hmm. and potentially become a player that, but it doesn't matter. The Kings don't have a backup point guard right now. And that is so, like, you can just see it on the court. You can, if this season spins out, it's like, okay, Devin Carter, go ahead and play backup point guard for the next, you know, 30 games. Right. That's fine. 25 games. We're just going to let you get better and learn how to play at the NBA level. And maybe we got something. Maybe we don't. But if that's not the plan, then you have to try to go out and figure out your needs and try to, you know, add pieces. So I'll just, like, very quickly, we have, like, some weird stuff with Jake LaRavia's contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Grizzlies didn't pick up his fourth-year team, like, rookie-scale option. So he, at the end of this year, is an unrestricted free agent, and the Kings cannot pay him more than $5.1 million. I saw people say, oh, you can give him the MLE or anything else. No, the Kings are capped at $5.1 million. That's all they can give him. It's the same exact situation they were in with Harry Giles a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So if Jake LaRavia blows up in Sacramento and all of a sudden becomes like a really expensive player, the Kings are going to have a tough time retaining him.
Mm-hmm.
Either way, they don't have rights to him outside of that $5.1 million. That's difficult. So if someone else wants to give him more money, the Kings can't do anything about it. But when you made the trade for Jake, basically, he makes $3.3 million. The two players that you send out, Colby Jones and Alex Len, combined to make $4.2 million. You created $900,000 under the luxury tax to add to the $2.5 million you already had, right? When we combine that, you're like basically $3.4
million. Mm-hmm.
Like minimum scale contracts for veterans is $2.1 million. And again, it's prorated.
Okay.
And then rookie scale for a guy like Isaac Jones is like $1.6 million.
Okay.
But again, it's prorated. So the Kings probably will bring in Isaac Jones on a regular contract. I don't have that guaranteed at this point.
But if they did, it would be like less than $800,000.
Yeah, so it's going to be like roughly like $700,000 or $650,000, whatever it might be. So that's going to be one thing. And they should have enough for a second league minimum scale contract that they could offer to any of these veterans.
Okay.
So a guy like Ben Simmons is floating out there, and he's going to go meet with, I think, two teams, the Cavs and the Clippers.
When news comes that he's getting bought out, and in that same breaking news, it's like he's talking to the Clippers and the Cavs, he's going to one of those teams.
He is going to one of those
teams. He's starting there, and then he'll peruse. Like, no, he's going to one of those teams.
Yeah, exactly. And very, very a few times has it been where a player gets bought out on a contract, goes to goes to another team and makes like more than the league minimum.
Yeah.
Right. Usually during buyout season, players go where they want to go and where they think they're going to get to play so they can bump their value up long term. So again, if a player like Dennis Schroeder gets bought out, I don't think he's getting bought out now. He got shipped to Detroit, right? Mm-hmm. But if he were to get bought out, you'd be like, okay, like, look, if Schroeder is available on a minimum scale deal, you could make a run at him.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're going to be up against the Lakers, who he's played for multiple times, or you're going to be up against all these other teams that might have a better opportunity.
Right.
And so it's more likely that they would go there. So you're going to be looking for players, but I don't know what you can find in the buyout market. And the Kings have never been a destination location for buyout market players.
There would be like definite minutes available, but it'll be interesting to see if that's enough to get any kind of quality veteran to join up over joining a team that might have a real chance to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
At least on paper right now. This is via HoopsWire.
Mm-hmm.
These are the current point guards available on the free agent market. These are the ones that intrigue me in some way. Reggie Jackson is number one.
Yes.
Reggie Jackson is the exact type of player we're talking about.
Yes.
Where go organize the offense and maybe make a three every now and then.
be physical, go to the basket, play a little bit of defense, do some of the things, like just be a physical presence on the court. Yep.
He's the only one out of this group that I'm like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because here's some other names. Markelle Fultz.
Nope.
Malachi Flynn.
Okay, maybe Malachi.
Okay.
Like, because Malachi can shoot it, right?
Elfrid Payton?
He's already going back to New Orleans. That was something that happened this morning.
Oh, okay. Yep. Okay, so this has not been updated yet. IT? Isaiah Thomas?
Yeah.
Like, this is John Wall's on this list. Killian Hayes. Kyra Lewis. Jamari Bouye. It just, like, those are the kind of names we're talking about.
Yeah, there's no one that moves any needle at all.
Mm-mm. Ryan Archie DiNacono?
No.
Yeah, no. Reggie Jackson is the one guy on this list that jumps out to me as a, oh, that definitely helps. So to that end, I don't know that the Kings are going to be super involved in the buyout market because they're not just going to go sign somebody to sign somebody.
Nope. And I would also like look at the G League, see if there's a player that's playing out of his mind at the G League level as a point guard, maybe a defensive minded guy or whatever. But the reason why I would look at the G League too is because those guys are playing right now and like they're ready to step in. Like they may not be of the level that you want them to be as far as players, but they've been like literally playing nonstop as opposed to some of these players that you might look at on the buyout market that just haven't been playing for 2 months. Mm-hmm. You know, like I think Corey Joseph is another guy who could get bought out, but are the Kings going to go get Kojo and just to make sure they have a backup point guard?
If the Kings sign Corey Joseph, John Bull is going to be a guest on our program. I don't think I've ever known a person who enjoys watching a player less than our guy John Bull enjoys watching Corey Joseph.
Yeah, he's like, again, one of my favorite Kings to cover. He's one of the nicest guys
by
ever.
All accounts, one of the coolest dudes in the NBA.
Yeah, he was here the other night. Like he played for Orlando. Yeah. Did he get traded or is he... The rumors are he's getting bought out.
I don't think he got dealt.
Okay.
Not in any move that was on my radar.
Yeah. So if he does get bought out, it is what it is. Like I don't think the Kings are going to go up. Like Garrett Temple might get bought out. Like there's like a list of players that could get bought out.
I want to get to our caller.
Okay.
And then I have a question for you that I've been dying to ask.
Oh, all right.
And I keep forgetting, but I'm going to ask right here in a second. Mitch in New Jersey, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, doing Kyle, James.
Doing great.
What's happening?
Happy Friday to you.
It's going well, considering what's going to be happening in my next 8 days.
No.
But anyway, Kings and Chiefs. First of all these point guards that you're talking about, I mean, it's like they're on two, three teams every year. It's like, it's like, kind of reminds you of the death of a salesman.
Sure.
On.
Yeah. Come on.
Does it seem like the Kings have gotten older from last year after the offseason and these trades? They got older. I think you want the team to be young and you want talent. And I'm hoping for the Chiefs. I can't stand the Eagles. It's just egg in the face. Pat Mahomes is like LeBron. I mean, especially in his early years, he made everybody better, got the team to the finals.
Yep.
Yeah, I need a little help with another star or two. But it just shows that it's more important to have players than the coach.
Yep.
And Andy Reid, Philadelphia letting Andy Reid go is egg in his face.
For sure. Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate the call. The Kings players did get older from last year. That's a thing that happened for sure.
Well,
I know what he's saying. It was just kind of a funny thought.
No, and I agree, though. Like, you had a window that was like 8 years, and then you shortened that window to 2 years when you signed DeMar DeRozan, and then you shortened that window further when you brought in Zach LaVine.
Yep. You got older at that spot. You got significantly older when you shipped out Harrison Barnes and brought in DeMar DeRozan. Jake LaRavia is only 23.
Yeah.
That's quality. But Jonas Valanciunas has been around, this is his 12th year?
Yeah, he's 32.
Yeah, he's in it. So Mitch makes a great point. This has gone from this up-and-coming team where you're hoping for development to a, hey, there's really high urgency. You kind of need to win now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. You bring up the luxury tax a lot.
Yes.
And I don't, because you're not, you know, in Vivek Ranadive's head. So you have no idea if he would or would not, unless you do know and you want to let us know if they would go over the luxury tax. I'm inclined to believe they would if it meant making a title run. I'm inclined to believe they would not if they think that this is just kind of a like team that may or may not make the playoffs, which makes sense to me. But why should I, as a fan of basketball, or if I'm a Kings fan, why should I give a damn if the Kings are getting a check because they were under the luxury tax? Why do I care that they get an extra $8 or $10 or $12 million? Why does that matter to me?
Well, I mean, realistically, it shouldn't matter all that much to fans, but like okay. The luxury tax is tied to like the aprons and everything else, right? So the Kings are X amount of dollars under the luxury tax, and then they're X amount of dollars under the apron, and those numbers are only really like $3 million apart, right?
And the aprons affect like what kind of moves you can make and how you can make trades.
Totally.
So there's consequences that come with being at the aprons. It's not just a dollar amount.
Well, and going over the luxury tax is kind of like a gateway drug. Right. Once you go over that luxury tax, you're like, okay, well, we're not that far from. We can go over the first apron. Oh, you know, oh, there's a good player. We can maybe go over the second apron. I'll be honest. I don't think that Vivek will go over the luxury tax. And I certainly wouldn't do it with this season, with this team right now.
Sure.
Like, again, right now, I just told you they're about $3.4 million under the luxury tax, right? Like, what do you think you're going to get that you just named the point guards that might be available? And maybe if you were to say, hey, we'll give you $5 million right now if you join the Sacramento Kings, Ben Simmons, as opposed to going to the Clippers. And the Clippers are like, yeah, we're giving you a league minimum deal. But you just got bought out of $38 million. Mm-hmm. Can you just take a league minimum deal? Well, what if he said, okay, yes, I would do that. Okay, will that make the difference? And maybe that type of move would. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're like, okay, it would make the difference. But if it's more like, hey, Isaac Jones and then one more player. The Kings are at 12 mm-hmm. rostered players right now. Mm-hmm. They're three under the maximum, but really two under the minimum. Like, they need to sign two players. One of those, I believe, will be Isaac Jones. One of
it
those could
sense.
Be. It could be Mason Jones. They could say, okay, Mason Jones as well. We'll do.
Yeah, like salute. Thanks for hanging out. Here's an
extra $800,000 this year, right?
Yeah.
So you're in kind of a weird spot when it comes to the money. But for me, I'm not going to, as someone who covers this team, say, hey, Vivek, you really, really should spend $5 million right now for a team that I don't think is going to be great mm-hmm. and push yourself over the luxury tax just because fans want to hear you that you went over the luxury tax.
Yeah.
Now, there's this weird thing that happened, which... luxury tax teams kept trying to get below the taxes here. And according to Bobby Marks, like on January 23rd, teams were 18, like every team that was under the luxury tax was scheduled to get roughly $18 million in tax revenue, right? Payout.
Damn.
That number.
That's the money that like Golden State's over the tax.
All of these teams that are over the tax. Minnesota's way over the yeah. Phoenix is
Milwaukee,
paying like
$160 Phoenix,
million, dollars, right?
Right. So right. They all pay into this pot, and that pot gets distributed to the non-tax.
All the other teams that don't get that don't go over the tax.
Got it. Okay.
So right now, that number went from $18 million, a potential $18 million payout, that after we get through the trade deadline, has dropped all the way down to $11.4 million per team. And that's because, number one, teams cut their salary. And number two, a couple of teams cut their salary so much that they went from tax-paying teams to non-tax-paying teams. And now you have more people in that pot.
So why does that matter?
Well, it matters that it went down because, like, to go over the tax is now less...
I guess my question is, why should I care that Vivek Ranadive and King's ownership... is now getting $5 million less in the tax.
Okay. Well, I would say this very quickly. If you go over the tax, whatever dollar amount you go over the tax, the team has to pay $1.50 for every dollar.
Right.
So if you go, let's just say $5 million over, that's $7.5 million. And yep. on top of that, you have to pay that player salary. So that's another $5 million. So now you're $12.5 million. On top of that, now you don't get the $11.8
million. Right.
You think, okay, why does that matter to me as a fan? Why does that matter? Where do you think your ticket sales money goes? Like, why do you think they keep jacking up ticket prices And sure, like this team is like their value as a franchise has gone over $4 billion from $535 yep. million when he bought the team. But that's not like he's got like a giant bank account with $3.5 billion. The only way to get that equity is to sell the team.
Right.
So like that money is like very, very like way out in the distance and it doesn't really even matter because mm-hmm. Vivek doesn't intend to sell the team. What should matter to fans is that, like, number one, your money goes to pay towards player salaries. Mm-hmm. Number two, if you're asking them to go into the tax, just go into the tax, that's $20 million, $28 million or something that you're just saying, hey, go $5 million over the tax. Okay, 12 and a half. You start adding it up. You don't get to $12 million. Mm-hmm. Now you're like $25 million. Where do you think, who's going to pay for that $25 million?
So
it's you,
by,
the fan.
By virtue of a bunch of teams that were over the tax going under and that tax payment dropping from 18 to 11-ish million. It makes tickets more expensive, potentially?
Well, if you were to go over the tax, it could make tickets more expensive.
I see.
And like right now, I think it just makes it less incentivized to go over the tax because $18 million versus $12
million,
that's a pretty substantial difference.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's not just about the tax itself and that payment itself. It's about how much you pay when you go over the tax and all that stuff. It's an accumulation.
The Suns owe $152 million just in luxury tax.
And where are they at in the standings?
12th?
Yeah, 12th.
Did they pass? They might have passed Golden State.
Okay, and if they owe that much, just so if you understand they owe that much, that means that their salary is like over 200 million.
I'm sorry, they're ninth. They're 25 and 25.
Okay, so their luxury tax dollar is one aspect of that. In order to get that high on the luxury tax, they're already paying $200 million in salary.
Mm-hmm.
So for a team like the Kings, not only are they paying like $32 million more for their team, but then on top of that, they're paying $140 million or whatever you said it was.
Oof.
It's $175 million more.
Golly.
So they're paying as much in salary.
Shout out to Matt Ishbia, man.
in luxury tax as the Kings really are paying for their team.
All right. Jesse Tapia is going to join us next. We'll have Mad Props. We're talking Kings. We're talking Super Bowl. Going to play a fun game. That's coming up next on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320. I don't know why I look at the Insider sign like I need to look and see what the name of the show is, but I do it every time. This is The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Super appropriate that this song is playing. Oh, you can't hear it on the stream. Sorry, everybody. It's Kendrick Lamar and The Weeknd.
All right.
And Kendrick Lamar, of course, performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, which is the game we're talking about in Mad Props because we have the Super Bowl and we have a Kings game on Saturday against the New Orleans Pelicans. Those are our two Mad Props today. But before we do that, a big salute to our guy, Charlie, who gave us a little handoff intro. Here we go.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking it right up the middle, here's Jesse Tapia with James and Kyle.
The hell's going on out here? What? What? Redo that one. Yeah, send that one back.
Hey. He did not know that there was like...
Dude, were you listening on your way in?
And did I didn't
you
hear that, no.
A little bit about it?
No.
Okay. Oh, man.
Woo! Hey-o.
They said, I played that for the chatty house, and they were like, no, play on. Charlie gets a superstar whistle.
The hell he does. Ted is out of the league.
Oh, man, that was
No,
great.
That's crazy. What a way to start a Friday.
Are they all different, or does it say the same thing every time?
Like Kenny's. Oh, I just had it turned down. Hang on. Ooh, this is. I think it's the same. I think he said it was the same. The names are just different.
It's time now for the handoff. Running it outside, here's KC, Kenny Caraway with James and Kyle.
He got running it outside.
I guess, yeah, Damon's going to get...
It's time now for the handoff. Running it inside, here's D-Lo, Damian Barling with James.
You got taking it up the middle.
Yeah, no, I got the battle.
I can't handle this.
Oh my god.
Maybe we'll just run back the old original intro that we had.
And Jesse.
Yeah.
It's time now for the handoff. Taking it right up the middle, here's Jesse Tapia with James and Kyle.
Right up the middle is just insane.
No, I don't think so.
Oh man, let's get to Mad Props. There's a much more normal intro. Right? No, it's just not going to play now.
It's time for Mad Props. Two games, two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide. Here's Mad Props.
Oh, man. We'll start with you, Justin.
What do you got, Kyle?
We've got the Kings game Saturday against the Pelicans, the Super Bowl, of course, between the Eagles and the Chiefs. I've picked two stats from each of those and pitted them against each other, and we got to figure out which one's going to be higher. Zach LaVine points against the Pelicans, or Saquon Barkley carries against the Chiefs?
Oh.
Saquon Barkley rushes, carries. I'm going to Saquon Barkley.
You said rushing carries.
Yeah, carries. Carries, yeah. Yep.
Okay, I am going to go Zach LaVine points.
Yeah, that's where I'm going as well. Maybe Saquon just has an unbelievable game because he's just an unstoppable force of nature. I feel like the Chiefs and Steve Spagnuolo are going to have a plan to like really limit him and force the Eagles into throwing, where we see Saquon Barkley have like 15, 16 carries, and Zach LaVine gets something more than 16. That's where I'm landing.
See, I'm at like 20 with Saquon. So
okay. You don't think LaVine gets 20 again?
I don't know. It kind of seems like it'll fluctuate. Like some guy's gonna get 25 this game, and someone's gonna get it'll be kind of in the middle of your game. So I'm gonna count on Saquon.
James Hamm, Keon Ellis made threes, or Juju Smith-Schuster receptions.
Oh,
I meant to bring up Juju's page here so I can give you some context on how many catches he has. His last, his last five games: 2-0, 1-2, 0.
I'm going to go Keon.
Okay.
Yeah, give me Keon in this one. Just more than three sounds right.
I'm going with Juju because I think a rando is going to make a couple of plays, and I think Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have like three or four catches in this one. I don't think Keon gets three or four made threes, so I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster in this one. Jesse, Domantas Sabonis points, rebounds, and assists, or Eagles-Chiefs total points?
I don't know. Is Domas going to take more than six shots?
Buddy, great question.
I guess I'll go... I'm going to go Eagles... I don't know. I'm
73 was the total last time.
73 for Domas or the Eagles-Chiefs?
Eagles-Chiefs.
Okay. I'll go Eagles-Chiefs. Yeah, I'll go Eagles-Chiefs. I don't know. Domas is kind of being weird with how aggressive he's been in the last couple games.
Yeah.
I'm James? With you. I'm going Chiefs. Eagles.
I'm going Domas because I don't know who's playing center for the Pelicans.
Well, buddy, like Joel Embiid and Andre Drummond were out for the 76ers, and what did Domas do that day?
I have no idea.
Like, he wasn't aggressive enough.
Mm. Is Misi hurt?
Oh, yeah. Eve Misi, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Domas is going to cook. I'm taking Domas. James Hamm, Jonas Valanciunas minutes or Patrick Mahomes completions?
Mahomes minutes.
Mahomes minutes.
I meant Mahomes.
That's right, yeah. 60 minutes from Mahomes.
Oh, that's tough. Yeah. I'm going to go Mahomes.
Jesse?
Yeah, I'll go Mahomes too.
I'm going that route as well. I think there's a lot of dink and dunk. A lot of easy completions.
Yeah, I do think that that Valanciunas against his former team is probably going to play quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it depends on foul trouble and everything else.
Yeah.
And I still, you can't, especially against that team, you can't really play both of them.
Yeah. Jesse Tapia, Malik Monk assists or Travis Kelce receptions?
Travis, I feel like I'm going off football with this one. But I'm going to go Travis Kelce though. He eats in the playoffs. I'm going to stick with Travis Kelce.
I'm going that exact same route. He did not have a big AFC title game. I think they're going to figure out ways to feature him.
I don't feel great about that, though. I think the Eagles are going to have something for the Chiefs. Like, they're not going to blow him out, but...
No, but because of that, I think it's going to be a lot of just like, hey, Patrick and Travis go create something.
Yeah, that's fair.
And I think they're going to figure out, Patrick Mahomes specifically is going to figure out a way to get Travis Kelce the ball a lot. James?
I'm going to go Malik Monk.
The other thing is, nobody's passing the ball on the Kings right now.
It's kind of you cook, I'll cook.
Yeah, I just, those 7, 8, 9 assist nights for Malik just seem like a thing of the past.
I do think that there's going to come a point, though, where Doug has to say, hey, just go pick and roll this team to death. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes, I need a whole bunch of pick and roll, two-man game stuff, and maybe he can get his assists there.
Last one, James Hamm. Keegan Murray, offensive rebounds or Eagles rushing touchdowns?
Eagles rushing touchdowns.
I'm in the same one.
Yeah, Eagles rushing touchdowns for me, too.
They might have like 4 or 5 touchdowns on the ground in this one.
Yeah.
All right, that's Mad Props. This will be our last one for the year. Then we'll do totals and we'll add everything up and then we'll figure out how we're going to move the bit forward. But we can do that off the air. Before we step out, I want to give everybody my last lineup for Underdog Daily Fantasy because I have one more 3-player lineup. I gave you one earlier. I'm going to give you another one. Underdog's Daily Fantasy, their Underdog Pick'em game is super easy. You pick two or more players. You pick higher or lower on their stats, touchdowns, rushing attempts, like receiving targets in the first drive. They have so many stats to choose from. And the big game with the Eagles and Chiefs is the perfect time to sign up because Underdog is the best place to play Pick'em. Download the app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM on the Underdog app. Here's my... My other lineup right now. I'm going to have multiple, but here's my other one. Harrison Butker, higher than half a missed field goal. I think at some point the Chiefs are going to try a really long one, and he's hurt. I think Harrison Butker is going to miss a field goal at some point. Juju Smith-Schuster, just talked about that. I'm going higher than 1.5 receptions. And then Jake Elliott, higher than 2.5 extra points made. Run that one up. It's going in all my lineups.
Sounds right.
Must be 18-plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncbgambling.org. All right. That's where we're at. I feel good about it.
I got the Eagles
in this
one.
Some money. I am taking... I'm taking the Chiefs because if they lose, I won't feel dumb. Everything in my body is like the Eagles are just better. The Eagles might just overwhelm them in a way that no team has been able to, and they win by like 2 scores.
I don't know if I'll go that far, but it's just I'm kind of along the same line of thinking of you. Like the Eagles are just better, like in each.
Yeah, I
like,
think they're just better equipped to handle the Chiefs than like the Niners have been in the last couple of Super Bowls. But I'm still taking the Chiefs. I'm just rocking with them.
Yeah, I'm taking Chiefs.
All right.
Rolling with my homies.
Yep.
It's his fantasy team. Yeah,
I know. Shout out. That's why I know.
Rolling with my homies.
Everybody who has been watching this show on YouTube has been in the chatty house all day talking about how much they can't wait for D'Lo and KC to start.
Yeah.
D'Lo's got some stuff to say about De'Aaron Fox. And that's coming up.
Yeah, new.
You're going to want to stick around for that. So what James and I are going to do is we're going to get out of the way. We're going to let D'Lo and KC jump in here. Jesse, thank you so much for hanging out. James, great week. Can't wait for next week. We'll be breaking down the Super Bowl, be breaking down the Kings as they continue moving forward. We'll also have the All-Star game, NBA All-Star stuff coming up as well. We've been The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Until Monday at 10 a.m., have a safe weekend. Drink water. Be nice, people.